Hey, this is Jeremy Asbrock, and you are watching and or listening to Nashville on the Rocks.
Hey guys, I'm Lisa Karkos, and we're back and ready to rock with another episode of Nashville on the Rocks. Our guest this week has come a long way from her humble beginnings in small town Sherman, Illinois, to sharing the stage with Nashville country legends like Chris Young and Lady A, and as a performer, her journey has been nothing short of spectacular. With her debut album, Gypsy, she captivated audiences with her raw talent and powerhouse vocals. Now she's taking her music to new heights with a fresh sound that blends rock and roll grit and classic country roots. Join us as we delve into her electrifying evolution as an artist. From working with industry heavyweights like Kent Wells to her latest collaboration with Don Miggs. So kick back and grab your favorite drink as we dive into another episode of Nashville on the Rocks, where rock meets country in this most exhilarating way possible. We hope you enjoy this episode with our friend, Kelsey Hickman. Hey, Kelsey, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is so exciting for us. This has been in the works, so we've been trying to get a time to meet with you for a while. And you've been very busy.
We're doing the damn thing.
Yes. You've been playing lots of shows.
Yeah.
You've been out of town a little bit. I want to talk about all of that, but everybody, welcome Kelsey Hickman on the show.
Hi, guys. Hi. What up?
Thank you. Welcome to Nashville on the Rocks.
Yes, I love it. This is such a vibe. Awesome. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I love
it. You guys did such a good job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I feel right at home with all the skulls and all the black and
Hell
all the music
yes.
gear. I love it.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's all about the ambience. It's the lighting, the skulls, everything. Mm-hmm. And like, we know there are people when they come in and they don't shy away from that. They're like, oh, I love the skulls in here.
Yeah.
I love the Halloween decor. And I'm like, absolutely. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I had very little to do in this process. Most of this is the creative mind of DA in terms of the vibe.
Stop it, babe.
However, source a couple. Couple of photos, okay, like pretty much, and I think I got a couple of skulls in here, and I helped put some mirrors up. Other than that, we're fine.
Teamwork
makes the dream work.
Yep.
I guess I kind of want to start at the beginning with you. We kind of came to Nashville around the same time together.
Yep.
So originally, you're from Illinois.
Yep.
Okay. It is a small town in Illinois?
Yeah,
a
small town right outside of Springfield called Sherman.
Okay.
Whenever I first moved there, I think it was a town of like 2,500 people.
That is really small.
Very tiny. Tiny town. Tiny farm in town. So I tell people I'm from the corn of Illinois. I'm not from Chicago.
Oh, that's
I'm
so
from
funny.
The farms, like all the things. So literally, it's very flat, very boring. So
very flat, very boring.
Uh-huh.
You know what's really... you know what's funny about that is that I, other than Chicago, I'm like, are there any big cities in Illinois?
Yeah, no. And the Springfield's like the corrupt capital. All of our governors go to jail. So, I mean, that's like the only other city that's in Illinois that you would know of.
That's so funny. Oh, my God. So small town USA, pretty much, which kind of is setting up for your storyline for music, which I think is really cool because it sounds like you had two, like, you know, like you had a country influence and you had a rock influence.
I did.
And so can you talk a little bit about what it was like growing up? You know, in a small town like that, you know?
So the country music, I definitely grew up on country music. I grew up singing it. I was in a cover band from the age 16 to 21.
That's
so
cool.
And we toured all over the Midwest, and I played every Friday and Saturday. I didn't go to football games. You know, I was in a band.
Oh, that's so funny.
So it's wild, but it was the best experience of my life. It just made me who I am, and it really, like, helped me cut my teeth in the bars and in front of crowds. And
yeah.
But it was country music, and it was, the you know, the top 40 every weekend. And don't get me wrong, like, I loved it, but I think once I moved to Nashville and I kept singing it, I just kind of grew out of it.
Okay.
A little bit. And I don't want this to sound bad, but I think my voice got bored of it. I wanted my vocals to kind of venture out and hit more high notes and do cooler things. And I have this natural rasp in my voice when I talk anyway.
It's so cool.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it does come out of my music. And and it, the rock side just kind of, it kind of just scooped in there a little bit. But the problem is I'm a redneck. That's the only problem. It's the country. You know, I grew up in the country. That's just who I am. It's who my family is. Like, so we're like beer drinking sons of bitches, you know.
But there's a word for that. And it's like Southern rock. Like, that's the thing, you know. My God, the fact that you said the football game thing, that is very small town USA. Going to the football games.
That's what I remember, like, me and a bunch of my friends had a falling out in high school because they were like, you're never around. And I'm like, I just had this bug. I got the itch. Yeah. I didn't know that this could be a thing. I didn't even know that, you know, that it could be a career.
Yeah.
It was just, it was wild.
How did you make that transition to Nashville? I mean, maybe once you got to singing and, and everything like that, and you got in a band and you're doing country, it seemed like maybe the next step?
So basically the band that I was in, they were a bunch of older guys and they weren't leaving Illinois. They, you know, they weren't leaving their small town. They had families, they had kids, you know, this was a hobby for them.
They're settled.
Yeah, exactly. So I, once I turned 21, well, let's backtrack a little bit. So we got opportunities to open up for like Lady Antebellum, Chris Young, Montgomery Gentry. Like, we got opportunities to open up for some big names.
That's great.
So I remember doing
as a cover band.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was weird, but it just worked.
Yeah.
And
I think that's a testament to like maybe the band itself and your talent and how fun that could be.
It was just fun. Yeah. We were there to get the party going. Yeah. We were there to like start it off, keep people like happy and ready for the main act.
Love it.
And we killed it. So I opened for Chris Young, and I remember after that show, I don't know what it was, but I was in the green room with my mom, and I think I was like 18 or 19. I was like, Mom, I'm like, how do I do this for the rest of my life?
Aww.
I was like, how do I don't want to cry, but I was just like, how do I do this? You know, is this possible? Is this a thing? You know, because I loved it so much. And I just, the energy and being up there, and I just wanted to sing. Yeah. I just wanted to sing.
Right.
So she was like, well, I guess we got to go to Nashville. And I was like, what's in Nashville? I had no idea.
That is so
cute. No idea.
That is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's such a cool story, because it's like, it's so pure. You know what I mean? Like, you just wanted to do that. So did you move here by yourself then?
I did. I moved here at 21 by myself.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Because I did visit at like 19 or 20. And my parents were like, you cannot come here unless you're 21. And I was like, they knew the shit that I would get into. They were like,
did you have friends here? People that you knew?
No. Me and actually, there was my friend, her name Jenny Campbell. She was in the band with me for a little bit back home. Mm-hmm. And she was a little bit older than me. So she was like, I want to come to Nashville. I want to try to like do this thing. So she quit the band first and moved to Nashville.
Okay.
So then I like kind of was like, well, I'm going to do that too. The band broke up when I was 21. So I was like, screw it, I'm going.
Right.
So I went.
Perfect timing.
Yeah. She was doing her thing down here. So I kind of knew her.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I didn't know anybody. I just kind of went to the bars, and I mean, I was watching everybody doing what I was doing back home.
Right.
So I wasn't that scared.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to get into it. I was like, how do I get here? How do I, like, you know, obviously, like I said earlier, I didn't come here to be a bartender or waitress, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get in these bars. I'm going to grind it out. I'm going to network. I'm going to meet people. And that's kind of what I did.
And it sounds like, I mean, what you were doing beforehand, you know, you were primed for that, you know, like you got used to that, you know, so you probably had a certain level of comfort to doing that.
Well, that was the only time I ever felt confident or comfortable was being on stage.
Interesting.
In my life, honestly, like it was like,
that's usually the opposite for most people. So that's how you know that,
it sounds so cliche and like, but like I felt so good on stage. I felt like it's where I belong. It's like what I've meant to be doing this.
That's cool.
And it's just like, I said, it sounds cliche and be like, oh, bullshit, but it's the truth.
Like, that's so funny. No, I mean, like I said, like most people, you know, they have the nerves. And I think the people that are kind of like, that keep going with it, those are the people that, you know, feel the most comfortable. Now, you went from being in a cover band, but now obviously you songwrite.
Yeah.
Was that a hard transition for you?
So I did write a little bit back home and I had a couple songs. I did like a little EP, you know, 5-song EP. But honestly, watching my career kind of, and just who I am as a person grow, the songs that I've been writing my whole life, like the songwriting has just gotten better. I'm not a songwriter though.
Okay.
And like, I can say that proudly and not be ashamed of it. I used to be very ashamed of it because I feel like I came to a songwriting town and that not being my strength. My strength was performing and singing and being on stage.
Mm.
So overcoming that hump of just being like, no, I'm not a songwriter, but I'm in the town of songwriting.
Right.
I have all these amazing people at my fingertips to learn from.
Right.
So like, that's just kind of what I did. And I surrounded myself with people that A, I felt comfortable with, and B, like that were just great.
Yeah.
And because I wanted to learn, I wanted to be better.
Absolutely.
Because if I, in this town, I just swear, it's just the competition, like people competing with each other. Like, I get it. You know, you got to have a little competitive bone in your body. But for me, I want to learn from these amazing people that are better than me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to look at it like, oh my God, they're better than me. Like, screw them. No.
Right.
I don't look at it that way. I think that's silly.
Well, and I think that Nashville is kind of really interesting in that sense, is because I think it is more people that are more like-minded to that. There is a certain level of like, everybody wants to be good, but there's a certain amount that people support other people.
Yeah.
And that like, if you're in a room with other people that do what you do, like you do kind of want to learn about that.
Yeah.
And you want to support them too. And I think that that's more prevalent, at least that I've seen, you know, over time, is that people just having a really supportive community here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the music community is very, very strong because
of that.
You know, people come out to support other people.
Mm-hmm.
Other artists come out to support other people.
They do.
Other songwriters, people go to songwriting rounds. You know, they go to Broadway and see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go to bigger venues and smaller venues and see you. So I think that that keeps the community going.
100%. And you know, when I got here, like seeing that, it felt good.
Mm-hmm.
It felt really nice. And I was like, okay, like this is someplace where I can grow and I can learn and I can just be the artist that I want to, that I know that I'm supposed to be.
So getting to Nashville, what happened when you started songwriting with people? Like, I mean, did you come up with things that you enjoyed? Or
I definitely had some like PTSD moments for sure with like certain songwriters, because there's a lot of nice ones, but there's a lot of assholes out there. So
I appreciate,
you know,
the honesty.
What I mean, and it's also like the process of songwriting kind of blows my mind in this town. It's like you end up meeting someone and you have to sit in four walls and just kind of look at each other and be vulnerable and create a hit when you just met this person. And I'm like,
that
seems a little like not authentic to me.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very forced. I feel like it's everybody's just trying to pump out a number one and there's no like authenticity there.
Yeah.
You know? And so,
well, it's trying to take something that's artistic and make it very business.
Yes.
And very like,
yes,
boxy.
Yes. And so whenever I first moved to town, I worked with Kent Wells, which was great. He's been in the industry a very long time. I learned a lot from him.
Mm-hmm.
He set me up with some great songwriters. We did like a 5-song EP, but it was very country.
Mm.
It was what I was, you know, known for back home, because I thought that was kind of the path that I was going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we released it. It was great. It was my first little project, my little baby, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't write, I didn't release a lot for a long time, probably like 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Just because I had no idea who I was.
Mm.
And I saw all these people continually putting out music. And I'm like, I don't want to put out music if I don't know who I am. And I don't want to put out music that's forced or just because it's on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I just didn't want to be whatever. I wanted to be me, period.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who that was yet.
Interesting.
So I didn't do it.
But I think that's actually really normal, too.
Is it?
That makes
me feel better.
Yeah, no, like, I think so.
I feel like I wasted time, which I don't need to think that way, but
I think you're not the only person that feels that way. And I think that it's very honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very rare. And maybe like from the people I've talked to, I kind of get that feeling that they go through those moments. But I think it's very rare to just have these artists that like know what the fuck's up.
Oh my gosh.
From 100%. From the get go.
And the people
and
that
be
do.
Be so young.
Be like, so you know, young. I'm like.
Like, who are
do
you?
Do you know what the fuck I was doing at 21? Like, the decisions I made. And you know what to write about and talk about at 21. Like, you know life. I'm like, kudos to you, man, because I was a shit show.
But that's all about your story. But I think that's like the authenticity part is great. So like, what did you do during that time that you were just kind of, were you just kind of like working on stuff but not releasing it? Like, were you always toiling over things?
Yeah, I was always thinking of ideas, and I was always thinking about what represented me the most. And mm-hmm. I wrote about things that was going on in my life. I went through a really hard breakup during those years, a guy that I was with for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went wild mm-hmm. there for a second. So there's a lot of things to write about there. Mm-hmm. but then, you know, COVID hit. Oh, yeah. And right after that, I was like, Kelsey, you got to shoot it off the pot. Like, yeah. you got to figure this out. Like, yeah. you're not getting any younger. You know, the industry's changing. You're changing. Like, do the damn thing.
Right.
And I think COVID just really made me get off my ass.
Okay.
And, like, actually start finding the producers I wanted to work with. Mm. Actually really, like, throwing down the music and putting, I guess, myself in the room of discomfort.
I was just about to say, like, vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
To like,
I did. I threw myself to the wolves. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm doing this. I don't care. I don't care the icky feeling I have inside. I don't care if I'm nervous.
Ready.
I don't care if I'm ready yet. I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm just doing the damn thing.
I love that.
And I did it. And I mean, I'm proud of myself for doing it. And I think it's definitely made me stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's like one of those things. A lot of people are like, why didn't you do this sooner? Why didn't you do it sooner? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't have an answer.
Right.
Timing's everything in life. Like,
not to interject anything, but everything you're saying is pretty interesting to me, because as an artist myself, as a songwriter, you're saying all the right things.
Really?
That make it honest, because what makes you go back to music and the bands that you love and the singers you love, it's like usually those are the people that you connect with.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're connecting with them, it's because you kind of, you know them through their music. So mm-hmm. they have a voice through what they're writing or how they're singing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and to be fearless, to put yourself out there, like to be comfortable being uncomfortable is the key.
Yeah.
And just to own it, you know, but you're saying all the right things, and I think that's fantastic.
Okay, so after COVID, I guess what I'm trying to say is that you were able to find more of the producers and the team that you
wanted. The team that I wanted.
You wanted.
That doing, finding the songwriters that, and also I think there was like a weird identity crisis going on, because I had so many people around me that were like, Kelsey, you're such a badass. Like, what is wrong with you? Why don't you believe in that?
Mm.
And once I found that kind of like Kelsey cult that was kind of around me.
Like, you're the people that are like,
yeah, they were like
pushing
this,
you forward.
They're like, this is a brand. This is great. Like, you, and I think they told me that I empowered people with me not even knowing that I did that.
Oh, that's such a powerful statement.
So that, whenever people would tell me that, I was like, oh my God, I feel like I have a job.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I have this
like
voice.
Like a purpose.
A purpose, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. Purpose is such a huge word. Because I feel like in life, we're always searching for, why am I here? What am I supposed to do?
Sure.
You know, what purpose do I have here? Mm-hmm. And not in like a way of like, I don't want to be here. It's mm-hmm. just like, what can I do to make a difference?
Yeah.
And whether it's small or large, mm-hmm. you know? So that, whenever that all happened, it made me, the discomfort of feeling, I guess, like the icky feeling of change.
Mm-hmm.
Once I found that every time I was changing and putting myself in situations that were uncomfortable, all the good that came out of those things, I was like, I love feeling uncomfortable now. Like, I was like,
it was worth it.
It was so worth it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell people, like, getting out of your comfort zone is massive.
Yeah.
Massive. And it's like a drug. It's like once you start doing that, you're like, I want to be terrified all the time. Like, this is great.
I could see that, because it's like the reward is so much greater on the other side. Mm-hmm.
And even if it's bad, like even if, say, you jumped and something fucked up, like all the other times that you jumped and all the great things that came out of it. Like that one little time that was bad, all the great things just make it so much better.
The rest of it's just like those small things are just little things to learn from and tweak.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
For next time.
And that's what happens. Like, you end up learning from those things mm-hmm. instead of like shaming yourself and be like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, that's like, so important.
It's wild. Like, once that happens to you, it's mm-hmm. the craziest feeling, and it's the best. And I hope everybody in this world gets to experience that.
Right.
Because it really is great.
Yeah, because then you're not bound by like nerves or fears mm-hmm. or like, and so many people kind of live in that zone of like wanting to do things but never knowing how to do them, mm-hmm. or feeling that they're going to be
feeling stupid
feeling
like if any, you know, if you jump into something that you have no idea what the hell you're doing, yeah. and some, but there are a lot of people though that will be like, wow, like you don't know how to do that. And it's like, no, I fucking don't. Help me. Do you know? Teach me. You know, like instead of like being like, oh, that guy was mean to me. Like, no.
Right. And internalizing it.
Yeah, give it right back to him. Fuck him.
You pushed it back out there.
Yeah.
I love that.
And so, you know, there's so much to learn by being that way with that attitude. It's like you get a chance. You realize what you didn't know. Mm-hmm. And now that you do know, and you start unraveling this thing, and you start evolving just naturally.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you discover that there are assholes out there, and then now you know who to stay away from or ignore.
Yeah,
you know,
or just kick their ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm over.
Or the people that just want to make you fucking feel bad.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Like, it's like, fuck you guys.
Who's got time for that, like, shit?
Life is too short. Like, I don't fucking need you. Like, get out of my way. Get out of my way.
Well, I feel like that this is like something that people can relate to. And I'm sure that the people that love you, because you have a huge like following, and you have a huge following on like social media. So, I mean, people are digging what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that they see the person that you are coming through your music.
Yeah. And that's all what I've always wanted.
Yeah.
That's what I've always wanted. I never wanted to be somebody else or do what everybody's doing on the radio. Not that. That sounds bad. I just don't want to, like, okay, this person wrote this song about this. That means I need to write a song like that. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. I'm going to write a song what I think, what I want, what I like, and I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to be this about me. Like,
well, that's what people like.
And that's what I want. And it's wild to think that for me. Like, there goes the identity crisis again. I'm like, how do you think what I'm doing is cool? Because some days I don't even believe in myself. Like,
that's the imposter syndrome too.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? Like, you can make an analogy to food. It's like, you can be like, man, that restaurant over there just made an amazing chicken McNugget. We got to make our own version of a chicken McNugget.
Yeah.
And then who doesn't love chicken McNuggets? I mean, they taste amazing. But then there's that like chef who's got that restaurant on the corner who made their own menu, put their own spin on it, is pairing these types of foods with this type of food, and you can't get it anywhere else.
That's a good way to put it.
And then people go there for that.
That's a really good way
to
put
it. And that's how they connect with their audience.
And
right?
like my music, my thing is like, I don't want to copy anybody. I want people to inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, artists that I look up to, artists that I listen to, you know, Shania Twain, I was obsessed with her. I was obsessed with her music and everything she did. And then growing up, figuring out that Mutt Lane like did all the shit on her stuff, I was like, oh my God, my country and my rock world is coming together. No wonder I loved that album.
It's all connecting.
It's all connecting. You know, and then I, the guy that I'm dating now, you know, he really got me into the metal world. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I was like, I did like the emo stuff like back in the day. Like I was obsessed with all that. But then he introduced me to the metal world and I was like, oh my God, like I'm obsessed with this. This is so cool. The people are so nice. The music, I was just like, and I was just blown away by the talent. So I'm like, and then I got into Hailstorm, and I'm like,
love them.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, everything is just coming together.
That's so great. I feel like the progression, it's really, really important, because as an artist, like you do want people to like appreciate your art, and like, but everybody that loves your art wants to know you as a person.
Amen.
That kind of leads me to like wanting to talk, because I want to know your influences. I want to know who you grew up with, and I want to know who you saw. I'm going to save that for a second, because I want to talk about like the music that you made. So I was just listening to your music on repeat, because I was like, God damn, like this is, I was like, I'm behind this, like rusting bitch face. Yeah, man,
yes!
Fuck that person. Like I felt
I love
it.
That song so
I
much.
Felt it in your vocals, and I felt it in your performance, and I felt like it was very natural for you. And I do say that I think that's kind of hard to come by.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, like I listen to a lot of music that I'm like, oh, this person sounds really great on this song.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything's working for them. But I felt like you were like basically like standing up there on a pedestal, like at a podium.
Really?
And you're like, I fucking mean this shit. Like I mean it. And I was like, that's cool.
Oh my God, I'm so glad that you think that. That's amazing.
I was like, that's cool. Like she's owning this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes through in your songs. Your vocals come through.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh, thank you.
So what's your favorite song that you've done recently?
Honestly, RBF might be up there.
That's your newest one.
It's my newest one, yeah. And it's, I've always wanted to write a song called RBF because everybody tells me I have it. And I'm like, I swear to God, I'm not a bitch. Like, I'm not. I'm just, and I wrote this with my friend Chief, and I told him about the idea, but he kind of came up with the concept of like, baby, I'm just resting. Like, leave me alone. And I'm like, that is fucking brilliant. I'm like, we're doing it. I'm like, that's epic. So, and it's, I just love it. And a lot of people relate to it. That's another thing is like, RBF, and I remember when I had the idea, I Googled, I was like, is there a song about RBF? Because like, there's no way there's not a song about this already. And there wasn't. And I was like, mine, I'm taking it. It's mine.
Well, and that's funny because like you said, like resting bitch face, you're like, am I like just chilling?
Yeah.
Or am I trying to be a bitch? You're like, I'm not trying to be a bitch.
You'll know when I'm being a bitch.
Yes. Like, you're like, I'm just fucking here.
I'm
okay?
just chilling. Leave
I'm
me
just
alone,
having a
man.
Good time. Go away. Do
just
because
I'm
thing.
Not smiling, like, oh my God, so many times. Like, why don't you should smile more? I'm like, bitch, get out of my face. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. But yeah, I know exactly.
You're like, smile more. You're like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Smile this bitch.
Mm-hmm. But it's like if they
it's
come
so hard
in,
being a woman sometimes. Yeah, God,
but they come. I know. Honestly, it's men. Men tell me that more than women.
Of course they do. That's and what I'm I mean. Like, it's always the men. They're like, oh, you should smile.
You should
more.
Smile more.
You look like, so pretty, and you're like, I was thinking about French fries. Okay,
you sound like,
go fuck away.
Baby, reminds me of a remember Borat. Do you remember Borat?
Oh yeah, Borat.
He used to. It reminds me of Borat, like just not having, you know, like from Kazakhstan, he would always like, what's wrong, princess? Why don't you show a smile? You know, he's so disrespectful.
Literally.
I just have the energy. Because he doesn't understand the culture. He's
actually worried.
It's like, what do you mean? You don't do this, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
So that's your newest favorite song that you've got out. Which is fabulous. And then, so I think you said that the most popular song that you have out.
It's called In My Place.
In My Place. And that's really cool too.
So that was really fun writing that. That was kind of like, honestly, like my eye opener whenever I wrote that song. Cause that's one of my songs that went viral on TikTok. And it, I posted it and like I didn't know. I knew how what TikTok was and like how it was working and how artists were using it as a platform to like get your music out to millions of people for free.
Sure.
And I was like, all right, I'm gonna do this. Why not?
Yeah.
And I did, and it took off. But I just didn't realize how many women really need that voice and that song to be like, I'm me, I am, I'm exactly the bitch that you think I am.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the lyrics. And they loved it. And they were just like, I need this. This is so uplifting. This is so like, I'm gonna kick a door down. Like, I needed this song, whatever I was going through in my life. And I just didn't, I'm so happy. Because now it's like giving me like an avenue to explore of, A, that's kind of who I am in general.
Yeah.
And the fact that I can do this naturally and help women, I'm like, hell yeah.
Well, it's kind of like you've given people a voice, but it's an anthem.
Yes, exactly. And I am just, I'm so thankful that the fact that I have an anthem.
Yeah.
Like, my mind is blown.
No, and oh I love the lyrics, too. And so the lyrics, do you co-write the lyrics?
Or? Yes.
Okay,
Yeah. So, like I said, like, I'm not a songwriter.
Right.
But I have tons of ideas.
Right.
And all the ideas come from who I am and what I think and what I believe in and the stupid shit I do and the, you know
so
what I mean?
Sorry.
So, like, it all comes from that. And they help me put it all together. They're like my painters.
Yeah. So, it's like, they just help you, like...
Sometimes I come up with melodies. Sometimes I come up, sometimes I'll come up with a whole chorus.
Yeah.
But then they'll be like, no, let's do this here, do this there.
Or
like,
this works better.
Yeah, we just all build it together. And I like that.
Yeah.
I really do like that. And the people that other people that blow my mind, how they can just write a whole song by themselves and it's epic. I'm like, that is just unbelievable how they do that.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
And it's also like you have to be really confident. And I think that's really hard for a lot of people. I think it's a fraction of people that are very, very confident. Like, I'm thinking Prince. I'm thinking the Beatles. Like, but even them, there's four of them in a room. You know what I mean? Like, it's very hard to get people who, like, don't question themselves.
Yes.
And don't need feedback.
Yes.
And don't look for someone else to be like, hey, does this fucking... Is this the vibe?
That is so true.
Is this the vibe? Is this coming through? That's what's coming out to me, you know? So having a team like that is really important.
That is so true. Like, for real. I mean, you're making me think. I'm like, wow,
No, you're definitely on the right path.
No, like that's like, but it makes me, makes my wheels turn. It's like, you know, if I, that's someplace I'd like to be one day. You know, that's someplace where I'd like to be like confident enough, like as my songwriting grows and as I learn and be around these people, like one of these days I'd love to be able to write a song just by myself and be confident enough to be like, this is great. I love it. And it's going to connect.
Yeah.
Because you're so right. Like the people that do that.
Like, it's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. And it's like, I think it's the amount of hours that you put in and it's your skill and all that other stuff. But it's like,
I think it's a God-given talent alone. Too.
It. I mean, I a really lot of do. It comes just from inside, you know?
Like, I really sincerely think that. Yeah. And I think that I believe in fate so much. I just believe that everybody's supposed to be where they're supposed to be at in their point of their life, timing, everything. Like, if you're supposed to be doing this, regardless of what you're going through, like, God's going to give you the tools and you're going to make it. You're going to be where you're supposed to be.
That's cool.
I really believe that. Like, I, so with the TikTok thing, the viral TikTok thing, so my grandpa passed away and it was in like a boating accident. He was like my best friend, my biggest fan. He was like my dad.
Oh, damn.
And once he passed away, I went viral.
Oh, wow.
So, and it was one of the, like, this was my first project in forever. You know, I have, this is my first introduction, like, reintroduction into the world of music. And I was very, I was nervous. I was scared. I was like, you know, I really want to put all this out there. I have to keep going. I have to keep going. And then that happened. And I was like, I want to stop because he's gone.
Yeah.
I was just like, what's the point now? He was the only reason why I did all this.
Right.
And I'm not kidding. I swear it was him. I swear he went up there and he was like, God, we got to give this girl a chance. Give her a chance. And I literally went viral. And I'm like, do you know how hard it is to go viral?
Yeah.
It is harder than shit.
I was reading about it. It's so strange.
And like that content I posted, I just threw it out into the world.
So there wasn't a whole lot of process behind it or thought. It was just what you did.
So I literally went and shot content for like the last three songs on the EP because I didn't have a music video for them.
Okay.
So all the other songs, the content I had was from the music videos.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I need to go shoot something for these songs if I'm going to try to promote them. And I did. I literally was dancing in a freaking parking lot for this song and I threw it on TikTok and it went viral.
And people just loved it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's what I'm saying. Like things that are meant to be just are meant to be.
Yeah, that kind of just happens. It was so natural.
And I know, and I'm like, oh my God, this is, but I really do think it was my grandpa. Like, I do. Aww.
No, that's such a sweet sentiment, and I'm sorry about that, because the thing that I'm kind of learning from you is that, like, and I think that is coming through, like, your music and who you are, is that, like, you keep pushing through all of these things. Mm-hmm. You don't just stop. You know what I mean? Like, even if you have some time where you're just chilling, like, you're still pushing through and you're working through your emotions.
Oh, yeah.
And that's coming through with your songs.
Thank you.
And so I think that you're definitely, your audience is resonating with that. And it's gotten you some great places.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about your influences and I want to talk about what you're doing next because you got some cool things coming up. Mm-hmm. I think right now what I'm going to do is take a minute. I'm going to get some tools together.
Okay.
And it's going to be the point of the show where I teach you how to make a cocktail.
Yay, the best part of the show.
Yay! one of the best parts of the show. What I love about it the most is that I feel like it puts people on the spot, but in a wonderful way.
Oh, amen.
It shows people, like, people are, like, seeing, like, a side of it, and I get to see a side of it, and it's perfect. It's amazing.
My management was like, Kelsey, don't get shit-faced on the podcast. And I'm like, not me. Never me.
Well, that's what we do here, you know?
Right. We're all about that. We're all about making it happen on a Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
You
know,
getting shit-faced before you have to go play a gig.
I'll take it. Sign me up.
All right, awesome. Well, I'll get some tools together, and we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. This is Brian Gamboa from Breath of Ashes, and you're listening or watching the best show on earth right now, Nashville on the Rocks.
Drop me insane. Yeah, straight to my
Okay, we are back. I've got the really big goblets.
I love it.
I had smaller wine glasses, but I was like, fuck it.
Nah.
No, let's do the big ones. So my goal originally was to make a bourbon spritz.
Mm-hmm.
It's summer, it's nice. But then I found this and I forgot that I had it. This, not sponsored by us, but should be,
mm-hmm.
Old Smoky, the watermelon, salty watermelon.
Oh my gosh, yum.
And so we tried this right on the little break and I think we both said we liked it.
Yes.
So let's try to do a spritz just with this though.
Okay.
And see how all the flavor profiles work. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we have three glasses in front of us. So I'm going to make your cocktail, Dan's cocktail, and you're going to make mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
So this is going to be fun. Okay, so I'm sure that you've seen this before.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so for all of you with guys that are watching, you can watch what we're doing. But for those of you that are listening, I'm going to walk you through it. So this is a jigger. It is a measurement tool that bartenders use. So we got two ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. We got, bing. We got 2 ounces on one side and we have an ounce on the other.
Yep.
So for this Aperol spritz, what we're going to do is we're going to put 1.5 ounces of this Old Smoky salty watermelon whiskey in here. It's going to be great. So do you see these little measurements?
I do.
Yes.
I see that.
On the inside. Okay. So that first line, that's 1.5 ounces.
Okay.
So we're going to pour it right to that line and then you're just going to pour it right on top of the ice.
All right.
So one of my favorite things about hanging out with DA is that he can make noises for coffee brewing, for wine being poured, and he'll just do it at the most random time. So every time when I pour anything
this, it's a lot of pressure. I'm not gonna ask you
to do it.
Just surprise us here in a minute.
Yeah, like he'll just do it automatically, and then I'm like,
I wish you guys had headphones on because I can do it right in your ear hole. Yeah.
I'm like, it sounds so good though. It sounds so legit. Real. Sounds so legit. So I'm a little nervous to put Aperol in here. I don't know if we're going to. Let's try this first.
Okay.
I'm going to do a couple dashes of these orange Ango bitters.
All right.
1, 2, 3. And you're going to put
three dashes. 1, 2, 3.
Perfect. Boom. It's like you know what you're doing.
I can't wait to drink this.
Are you sure you don't bartend on the side?
I mean, no, but I should. They make a shit ton of money.
Not too bad. I mean, it would be so funny if you were like bartending and then you just get up on stage.
Coyote Ugly as fuck. Hello. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
That'd be so much fun.
Like,
the things.
I know.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to pour. I have this San Pellegrino, this blood orange chow.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pour it in, and we'll go like maybe
there.
Yeah, just to like 3/4 of the glass. Okay. Okay, we'll pour it. And because we're trying something new on the fly here, we're going to see if we should add Aperol.
Okay.
After the fact.
I agree.
Okay, so we'll take this bartending spoon.
I love her.
Yes.
Love the angel wings.
Yep.
Cute.
And we're gonna stir it.
Woo! Party.
Perfect. Party time. This looks, if we do a salty watermelon blood orange spritz, that's fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
All the things here I think are gonna be good. Okay. I think it's nice.
So taste testing time.
Taste testing time. Okay, so I'm going to give this to you.
Oh, yep, that's right.
You're going to give this to me.
Yep.
And we may add something afterwards, so just wait.
It smells delicious.
Does it smell good?
This one's for me. What a surprise. Never knew that was coming.
I can't believe, I don't know where we got these things,
cheers,
but they're massive.
Y'all.
Cheers. Cheers, everybody. Yeah. All right.
Holler and a swaller.
All right, here we go.
Holler and a swaller.
Ooh, man. That is refreshing as shit.
Okay, it's very nice.
Yeah, this is good. This is a good summer drink.
It's actually pretty balanced.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I do like it, too. Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. So this salty watermelon, I guess we could use it for, you could use it for spritzes. You could do mm-hmm. it for all the things. And because I didn't have regular soda water, I purposely bought this blood orange because I wanted to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes really nicely with the salty watermelon.
I like
watermelon.
It. It's not too good. Sweet.
Mm-mm.
You can't, it's not too strong.
Mm-mm.
Could definitely get hammered off it.
I was just about to say it's really dangerous.
It's dangerous, yeah.
Okay, now that part is done, let's kind of go into like some of your influences. Specifically, like I want to know like the country artists that you listen to,
mm-hmm.
and I want to know like the rock artists that you listen to. And I'm very interested in this tie, this connection that you have with country music, and then kind of, I don't know if it's making the transition or mm-hmm. just becoming more of who you are
yeah.
and finding that into you're pulling on your rock roots.
Mm-hmm. So whenever growing up, like Shania Twain was the thing for me. That Come Over album, I don't know, there was crack in that thing. Like that thing was addicting. I knew that song. I knew that CD backwards and forwards. And I guess it was like the, looking back, it was the production that really got me. It really was like the cool hits, the cool stops, and she was doing something that not a lot of women in country music were doing at the time. She a lot of like Trisha Yearwood and, you know, Leanne Rimes and Dixie Chicks, they were country. They were country AF. They were, you know, cornfield, like back of daddy's pickup truck, that kind of shit. I mean, the Dixie Chicks were definitely, they were killing people, so that was cool too. But I don't know, Shania really just stuck out to me with all of her cool different shit that she was doing.
I have to look up this album that you're talking about because I don't remember it. It's the Shania Twain,
the Come On Over album.
Come On Over album.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the songs off
that? Was like the Man I Feel Like a Woman song, and then the Come On Over was...
Oh, is that the Mutt Lange?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Ah! Oh, it's the famous one that everybody knows.
Yep.
With the cover.
Yep.
The cover.
That Don't Impress Me Much, the cheetah gear on.
Oh, 97. This was definitely released when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. Definitely listened to this album a lot.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
I was obsessed. And, you know, a lot of my friends, they were definitely into Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and all that, but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was into the country. I really was. And I think it was because that's where my voice sat. At the time,
the more comfortable you felt singing
and singing along to it and learning my voice and learning that I could sing and all those kind of things, like the country world just really is where I sat. But I definitely was into like Avril Lavigne, Blink-182, you know, all those like emo bands too.
Like, I see it in your look though. Yeah, like I see it just come out. No,
and
know?
That was like my neighbor, my best friend. Her name was Felicia, and she listened to that shit all the time, and she took me to school every day.
Oh,
so she almost forced me into it, but then I was like, okay, I'm obsessed with this now. So, but yeah, I was definitely into that. But then I kind of dug into Aerosmith for a long time.
Hell yes.
Steven Tyler, just like, God, I don't know what it was about him, but I was like, you're so hot, like I'm obsessed with you. and his performing on stage really got me.
Yeah.
And like listening to their albums, I loved the variety.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was so much different variety. There was Southern rock on their albums.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
They're a rock and roll band and they have Southern like rock style songs on their albums. And I was like,
great blues, great
singers. I loved that stuff. And great, I loved how different it all was. Mm-hmm. Like, not, you know what I'm saying? There was a lot of different variety.
Yeah. You liked how they kind of hit everything.
Yeah, and I loved that about them. I'm so mad I didn't get to see them in concert, but that was just, I loved that. And then let's see, I mean, then like I said, the guy I'm dating now, he really got me into metal.
Oh, so what is a couple of metal?
I mean, like Ice Nine Kills, like I'm obsessed. Like I think they're so good.
That's awesome. They actually have ties to Rochester, babe.
Yeah.
So I knew that for some reason.
Yeah, so the bass player in Ice Nine Kills, because we're from there, he's from Rochester.
Yeah.
Those guys have been at it for a long time.
Really?
And I'm, like 20 years, I think. And they've been, like, they have more success now than ever. Like, they're on all these major tours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like them. I like Beartooth. Mm-hmm. I like, and then, like, he got me into like Deftones. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, just some of the throat, like the old staples.
Yeah, the old, I mean, Stained, like shit, all that stuff. I was like, oh my. And it's funny because he would be like, you know this song, listen to this. He's like, you know this. And I was like, no, I won't know it. And he's like, you're gonna know it. And he's like, and I'm like, oh my God, this is that. And he's like, yeah. He's like, so I mean, I just thought that was, and the one thing is like, we would go to like metal festivals.
Okay.
And it blew my mind. The talent.
The talent.
The freaking talent. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my jaw was on the floor all the time.
Yep.
Because I was just like, holy shit, these people are unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I was so intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm.
It made me explore all of the different avenues of it and how they sing that way and how they do all that shit. Now I even try to scream sometimes. I'm like, this is so fucking cool.
I love it.
I'm like, I love this. This matches my personality 100%. Losing my shit. I'm like, I need this in my life. So like,
oh my God, I love
and it's
it.
But it's like I don't want people to think I'm being a poser. That's why I tell the story of why I like that music now.
Yeah,
he got me into it. Like, no. It wasn't like a, oh yeah, I'm a metal chick, I'm hardcore now. No, that's right. Not, fuck that. No, yeah. I just like it. Like, right. I think it's so incredible.
No, that's awesome. Actually, have you heard of Entheos?
Uh-uh.
So you probably would like them because we had Chaney on the podcast and she's
I know her.
You know, yeah, Chaney yes. Crab. She's yes. so ever. I feel like if you are on the internet, you fucking know who Chaney
we
is.
We were. I was so one of our friends. She was married to Stain's drummer that just passed away, Don Misaki, and okay. she was having a party and she was there.
Oh, that's so
and
great.
And I was like, I know who you are. You're yep. incredible. I'm like, this is wild. I can't believe like you're standing next to me.
That's her band.
She's literally unbelievable.
She's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the world gets to see what she can do on mm-hmm. a massive level.
That is so cool.
And I'm so happy for mm-hmm. her. So they're in Europe right now. At the time of filming this, like this is going to be released a little bit later in the summer. By the time of filming this, they are in Eastern Europe at this point.
So cool.
So yeah, we've had the pleasure because she's always so much fun to have Chaney on the show. We've mm-hmm. had her once for Rockin' Pod and the other one in studio. But yeah, like so I definitely became a fan and I met her at a metal show.
Mm-hmm.
I met her at I don't even remember. Oh, I remember it. I met her at a Lacuna Coil.
Right?
Lacuna Coil show. And so I just kind of went up to her. I was like, are you Chaney from Entheos? And she's like, yes, I am. I was like, okay, you have a very distinct look yeah. about you. So yeah, so I mean that's cool to explore everything. God, there's so many bands that I feel like you would really enjoy.
Well, like in this moment, I saw them live and I was like, oh, she's fucking nuts. I was like, I love her,
amazing,
and like that shit is fucking cool shit. Like,
so cool. God, there's so many bands. The thing about metal bands that kind of like get me going is that like it's such a sub. I mean, it's massive, but it's small, so it's such a yeah. sub. Genre that like I think when people actually like most people are like screaming mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. you know, but like if you're someone
there's so much it's so much more than that,
and if you're someone that shows an interest in mm-hmm. it, you can appreciate what they're doing.
Oh my god. And you like know? I tell my mom, she's always like, you go to the Screamo festival, I'm like I like just go and just watch just one watch time it. And like you don't understand like what goes into that shit. Like it's wild and it's you need to appreciate it.
Yes, the vibe mm-hmm. that puts out
and the people.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I have to say this, and I say this every time I get a chance to say this, I have to. The people at metal shows are the best people in the world.
Yeah, they're so chill.
And the people at country concerts suck ass. They do. Like, there's so many Karens at the country shows. They're like, get out of my way. Get out of my spot. Metal shows, they're like, come on.
Right.
Let's all do this together. We're friends. I just met you, but we're BFFs now. And I'm like, this is how it should be.
I definitely find that to be the case. Like, I don't go to a lot of country shows, but, like, just being in the arena of the downtown scene, I've seen my fair share of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild to me, so but great. I love that. I love it.
You want to like be able to merge like the two together, you know, and be yeah. like, everybody just chill the fuck out.
Yeah, literally. I'm like, we're all here for the one thing. We're yeah. all here for the music.
All here for the music.
Like, duh, like we're not. Yeah. Oh, no. Don't get me started. I can go on for days.
So what are some of your favorite artists?
Let's see. As of right now.
Oh, because I'm sure it may change and evolve.
It has changed and evolved. I knew you were going to ask me this. And you know what's really funny? Is whenever I play downtown, people ask me this all the time, and I don't have a good answer. I just don't.
That means you just have to come up with one. Just name a couple. Because I always want to know what people are listening to now. You know what I mean? You can always say that.
Look
like
at
a
my
good,
phone.
A good, yeah, yeah. A good band or whatever you're listening to now.
Let's see.
Oh, that's a good way to know. It's like, hey Siri, what have I been listening to?
Yeah, my Siri just popped up. Cassie Ashton, she's a bad bitch. She's an independent artist. She's not independent. I think she's with a label. She's great. She's country. She's amazing. Okay. I love what she stands for. It's very red dirt-ish, but it's very vibey. I love her.
Okay.
She's great. She's like a red dirt gypsy,
okay,
if you will.
I haven't heard of her, so I'll
love
check that.
And
out.
Then Lakeview, they're doing some cool shit.
Okay.
They're country. They're kind of trying to do the country metal thing.
Interesting.
So I like what they're doing. And let's see.
Did you have a question, Dan?
No, I was just gonna say if you couldn't come up with an answer, the correct answer would be Motorhead.
Oh, you're right. Forgot about that. Cody Johnson, I'm obsessed with him. I think he's amazing. I think he's a great human. I love. He's like getting back to like country roots of like what country music is.
Thank you for that, because mm-hmm. I don't know if I know who any of those artists are, so mm-hmm. I'm very happy to check it out.
And of course Jelly Roll, man, he's doing his thing. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's such a great human, and I'm yeah. so happy for him and everything that he's doing, and he's making such a big difference
yeah.
in his music and all the things. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah.
No, I like it when it impacts people like that.
Absolutely. I feel like he's really beloved too in Nashville. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've met him a couple of times. He was always like super sweet.
Yeah.
So I worked for we can probably cut this part out, but I worked for a jewelry store called King Baby.
Oh my God. I was obsessed with them.
They have good stuff. And
so expensive though.
It is expensive. And so like I sold him a couple things, and they were like, "Do you know who that is?" I was like, "No." And mm-hmm. they're like, "That's Jelly Roll." I was like, "Who is that?"
Yeah.
And then they're like telling me, look, he comes in here all the time. So the next time he came in, and he always buy their wallets and their chains. And then nice. his wife would come in and buy stuff for him too. And then so he came in like one time, I sold him that, and then 3 months later he's like, "I need a new wallet." And I was like, "Didn't you just get this wallet 3 months ago?" He's like, "I fucking lost it." And I was like, and he was just like really relaxed. I was like, "I got more wallets, I can sell them to you," you know, like, but he loves their stuff. So, and he was just always like super kind, and so was his wife. You were just touring with Saliva recently.
Mm-hmm. Hinder and Saliva. Yep.
But now you are also touring with Hinder. I don't think Saliva's yeah. on that.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. It's Hinder and Austin Mead.
Okay.
Yeah. He's great too.
I know who Austin Mead is. Mm-hmm. I'm actually surprised.
There you go.
Good Hell for yeah.
me. I'm so hip, babe.
I'm so hip. I know what's going on. But I was checking that. And so, I mean, Hinder, that's like, they have some really big hits.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is actually a really cool mix.
Yeah. That's yeah. kind of what, so my management manages Hinder too.
Okay.
And they were like, they were trying to figure out where to put me. They're like, "We got to find, like, you know, where are the rednecks at that listen to rock?" They're
like, there is a lot of them.
They're like, "That's like what we got to find." And mm-hmm. I was like, "Yeah, you're right." And he's like, "And also, you know, the women that are going to go to the shows, you know, like the husbands are going to go, but are the women are going to go with them?"
I got you.
So that's kind of where we were at. And they were like, "I think we should try Hinder. Let's yeah. try him." Because they're, you know, they have a lot of hits.
Mm-hmm.
They,
good
you know,
bill.
The good bill. You know, they've been out for a long time. They have a great following.
Mm-hmm.
Very loyal fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the exposure's there. They're like, "Let's do this." And we did that first run with them in March, and they were such cool dudes. Everybody was so welcoming, so great. And so they're letting me come back now in July.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was it just for the month of March?
I only did 4 dates with them in March.
4 dates. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now are you doing...
Now I have 7 dates.
You're doing 7.
Yep.
And one of them is in Nashville.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for
at
that show.
At the Basement East?
Basement East, July 22nd.
Babe, we're going.
Yeah, you are.
We're there.
I don't even know what day July 22nd
it's
is.
It's a Tuesday.
It's perfect. I don't work. Yeah. I'm going.
Oh my God. It's
we're totally
to
available. We'll be there.
Totally Yay. Available. We're going to be there. So you're going to be playing with those guys. I wonder if they're sold out. We got to find out now. It's not sold out
nope,
yet?
Not sold out yet.
Okay, because the tour hasn't started yet.
Uh-uh.
Got it. We got some time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to put this in my calendar so I can remember. And last mm-hmm. minute, I'm not trying to scramble to figure out life.
I'll text you. I'll remind you.
All right, please do. God, that'd be so funny. I'd be like, "Kelsey just sent me a reminder to come to her show because I can't fucking get my shit together. Because I've had too many way. Of these it's watermelon fine. Spritzes."
Exactly. The salty watermelon gotcha.
It did. But I'm really excited to see that. Okay, so Austin Mead's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any, like, I know this is kind of a weird question, but you've played a little bit around. Is there any place on this tour that you're going to that you're kind of excited about other than Nashville, like your hometown?
I mean, I've never even been up to like South Dakota and Montana.
Yeah.
And,
oh, that's, I'm sure
and
it's
we're going
beautiful.
There.
Okay.
We're playing in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I'm playing in Billings, Montana.
I think you
so
guys are
I'm excited. Like I'm, you know, like that's kind of cowboy country.
Mm-hmm. I would say you're right? going to do great there.
So I'm like, okay, like I'm gonna. People are gonna like me there.
They're gonna like you,
and it's really. I'm just excited to see what they call God's country.
Yeah.
You know? So that.
And plus, I think that don't they got that big ball of string up there?
is that what that is?
I mean, we should. I just want to take a road trip and just do that for.
I
a
thought
day.
That was in the middle.
Oh wait.
Like in Iowa
you know
or Nebraska.
What,
or something.
My luck would be like I go up there and to see the ball of string. It's
if
like
I
huge.
See it, I'll FaceTime Lisa. I'm like, I found the ball of string.
I want to go up there to unravel it. Go viral.
Just pull
there
it apart.
You go. Just start ripping it to shit.
All right.
Oh no, I think that'll be absolutely beautiful. Like South Dakota, like Montana. I feel like this is what like social media is also good for too, because you get to go and see the beautiful things that happen there, mm-hmm. and you get to share that with people. And then what does that do? That brings everybody. Like everybody's been coming to Nashville for the past 15 years. They're doing the same thing. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, this looks beautiful. Let me just bombard that place and go there.
Literally.
Yeah.
And burn it to the ground.
And make it whatever. Oh my God. So you're going to be doing that. That is so cool. And so your band that you play with, mm-hmm. have you been playing with these guys for a while?
So luckily, since I moved to town doing the Broadway scene, mm-hmm. I have like the most amazing musicians at my fingertips.
That's
and
great.
Like building those relationships and just like finding people that are super freaking talented and mm-hmm. like actually good humans. Whenever you find that, like I try to keep them close.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to like, I take care of my people. I want them to want to play for me. I want them to want to be on this train, on this journey, this Kelsey cult. Like, I want them to believe in it too.
Sure.
And I found that in a lot of these guys that I play with, that I've known them for years. I've known one of my guitar players. I've known him ever since I moved to town. I played my first gig with him.
Okay.
10 or 11 years ago.
Damn.
So okay. It's like just one of those things, full circle moments where I'm like, I'm actually getting to do like what I came here to do, and bring him on board, I think is so cool. And the drummer is my boyfriend, so we get to share this journey
I love that.
This passion together. And I told myself I'd never date a musician, but here I am. So, but it works. I'm shocked. Knock on wood.
Wait a minute.
Works.
You told yourself you'd never date a musician. You would feel like you'd only want to date musicians.
No, they're all fucking fucked up. No.
That's so great.
I'm not going to lie on this podcast. No.
Like, that's so great.
So, but yeah, I love him, and we do this whole dream together, and it's
that's so great.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's awesome that you have someone, especially that you can rely on, that's in your band for that.
Yeah.
So when you play downtown, how often do you play?
So as of right now, I've had 2 gigs a week, Thursdays and Saturdays.
Same place?
Same place at Nudie's. Okay. I was playing there for a long time. And then, you know, like I've been in town so long, I just pick up things.
Okay.
You know, I mean, everybody needs a break every once in a while. So when these singers are like, I don't want to play tonight.
Yeah.
Can you come fill in? And I'm like, yeah. And it's great. You know, I kind of like that because I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to play my own music mm-hmm. and travel. So down there, you don't really play your own music unless it's requested.
Sure.
And some of those bars, the people that book those bars, you know, they want people there that are there all the time.
Yeah.
They don't want people that come and go.
They want consistency.
They want people that are there all the time, mm-hmm. 7 days a week, and I can't give that to them.
Yeah.
So the situation I'm in right now, I think it's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm meant to have a consistent, because for a while I had consistent gigs down there. But as my career's been growing and evolving, I'm not there as much.
But you would think that that would be a good thing because it's an event.
I thought so too, but they don't look at it that way.
Mm.
And it is what it is.
They don't fucking know. Never mind.
I know.
I'm going to shut up.
Yeah. It's a dog-eat-dog world down there, let me tell you.
Oh, no. I know. Broadway's a whole different thing. Maybe if there's any spots out there that are listening mm-hmm. and you can find that happening too. Have you ever played at a place like the 5 Spot or something like that?
I have not.
I think that'd
be
super cool.
That's something I should explore for sure.
Yeah. Because I feel like they have a solid following in
really?
General. Yeah. People that just love
locals,
to go there.
Yeah.
Locals that love to go there. But I think that would kind of maybe open up like another little section.
Yeah.
And then maybe you might really enjoy it. And it's small. So
and they encourage independent artists, I'm sure.
Yes.
And original music, mm-hmm. which is great.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would give more of a club vibe,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, like a room.
Well, like, and that's the thing downtown is like, I go down there and I play these shows, and sometimes they're really high energy, and they're mm-hmm. like, you're there to like entertain, to keep people in the bar.
Sure.
So you're a machine,
yeah.
You know, and you're working for tips.
Right.
So you're hustling. Like it is a 4-hour like nonstop grind.
Yeah.
So doing those shows at like 5 Spot, you know, maybe I think I'd like that a lot more because it would be about the music and I could breathe.
Yeah.
You know, I could just vibe. I could tell little stories about my songs, and
absolutely
it would be that kind of ambiance. I think mm-hmm. that would be really refreshing for me. I should definitely look into that.
And I say that because they've been around for so long. Mm-hmm. They have such a good name.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the basement in a sense, but I think that you have people that just go to the 5 Spot because there's other things going on at the 5 Spot other than music.
Yeah.
They have like, you know, a dance night and a Monday night. We can probably cut all this out, but I was just thinking out loud. But going back to, yeah, working the Broadway thing mm-hmm. and working the downtown, it is like, I'm sure you're very good at it. You know what I mean? So I'm sure that it's like, and you probably get people that you get a chance to tell them like, hey, you know, like I'm on the road.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have a lot of people at my fingertips, so I definitely try to take advantage of that and like give them my cards and hey, you do like my voice. Well, guess what? I have original music. Go check me out. So those type of situations I'm thankful for. You know, I get, I've definitely built like, I feel like I've built my Instagram following through Broadway.
Sure.
Like I really do.
Oh yeah.
Like they follow me, they come back to see me, you know, our trip to Nashville this year, where are you playing? So I mean, like it's I've definitely developed some really good relationships down there. But my thing, for the while I was down there, and I couldn't get out.
I see.
I got stuck.
With just the constant and the consistency, and I wasn't money or whatever.
Focusing on the big picture.
I got you.
And it was, but that was also the time where I didn't know who I was.
Okay.
So it was almost like I said, timing. That's that was just a time in my life where I was down there all the time. I was grinding and I didn't have no idea who I was. So I wasn't really doing anything anyway.
I got you.
So, but now that I'm, it's a double-edged sword. Cause like I get to make a living practicing my craft, doing what I love, but also wanting to be an independent artist and be playing my only original music.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I take a knife to the heart doing covers for 4 hours. Whenever I'm trying to be like, God damn it, I want to play my own songs.
Are there any covers that you really enjoy to do?
Oh, yes. Zombie. I love, we do our own version of that.
By the Cranberries?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep, we do like a cool like breakdown version of that. I love doing Creep by Radiohead.
Yes.
Let's see. I love any like AC/DC. I'm obsessed with AC/DC.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, is there something that you find that when you play people on like Broadway, I'm just curious, ask you to do the most?
Zombie.
They do. Okay.
Which for the longest time I was like, I don't, why do people like this song? Like,
right.
Because I listen to it and I'm like, this song, I don't fucking, whatever. But I'm like, whenever I sing it, they like it. And I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I'm going to stick with what people want. So yeah. I'm going to do it, make it my own and run with it.
Now I've got to go check that out. Is that available somewhere to listen to?
Zombie by Cran. Oh, mine?
Yeah.
No, but it should be.
Yeah, right?
It should be.
If it's something that people are listening to a lot.
People have been telling me to cover it. I can put it out there. So maybe I just might.
That would be
that
really
might
cool.
be a 2016 or 2026. Right. Jesus. God, 2026. Yes.
I knew exactly what
you
meant.
What I meant.
I don't even want to talk about 2026.
Oh, my God.
I don't have time for that. That's like months from now, and right? I can't even want to think about
God,
that.
Oh, God, it is months from now. What's going on?
I don't even know what's happening. No. But I know this watermelon spritz has hit me kind of hard.
It's delicious.
It's very delicious, which actually I have a couple of things to give you on your way home. So I know that you're in the process of, you know, having to head to one of your gigs, but I do want to just ask you, so what is something that you want people to kind of like follow you up right now? Obviously, Hinder, like the Hinder tour, going, checking out your Instagram page, checking out your new music, checking out your TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything when you get home from tour that you're planning?
I'm just going to keep writing.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep like digging deep on ideas and things that I want to say, things that I think that need to be out in the world, things that I think my fans would like.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's another cool thing is like having this fan base that kind of built overnight, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to see what they want and to see what they're listening to and to see, like, I don't want to be the type of artist where like they're going to like anything I put out. Like, you know,
yeah.
I want to know like, what needs to be out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what needs to be said? That's regardless of like kind of like what I want to say, like what do you think needs to be said?
Yeah,
that's not already out there.
Well, it seems like what's happened to you in the past has been very natural coming out. So I think that's wonderful. Well, Kelsey, thank you so much for coming
on the
show.
I had so much fun.
Good. I'm really glad we were able to make this happen, and I'm just looking forward to going to your show and seeing you perform. And as someone that does not get out to Broadway anymore because I don't work down there, maybe one of these days I can pop on in.
Oh man,
because I would just love to check out the vibe, you know what I mean?
If I get a good show, I'll text you and be like, hey, I got a good show this week, if you have time you should come to this one.
Just come on
I'll
down.
Do that and so you don't waste your time
and make it happen.
Yeah.
All right, well, cheers.
Cheers,
thank you
y'all.
So much.
Thank you,
this is great. And y'all check out Kelsey.
All right.
See you later. Hey there, thanks for tuning in to Nashville on the Rocks. We're so grateful for your support. If you're enjoying our content, we'd love it if you could hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel. And don't forget to follow us on social media and give us a like on iTunes, Spotify, and all your other go-to streaming sites. Your feedback is super important to us, so please leave us a review as well. Thanks so much.